And to my audience, I hope you found this as useful as I did. And as always, I look forward to speaking with you again next week.
Seven p.m. WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming at WBAI.org. Time now for Off the Hook.
The mudslide in the area you are calling, your call cannot be completed at this time. Please try your call later.
Thank you for listening to Off the Hook.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Over here.
And we have, over in Skype land, we have Rob T. Firefly. We should have Rob T. Firefly. I don't hear anything except a bit of a buzz. Okay, how about Alex? Alex, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Good
evening. Okay, you're very far away, though. You sound very far away.
Am I closer now?
Not really, no. It's a horrible buzz, and you're very low. Are we regressing? I don't... Kyle, we have a new setup. So this is what happens when we get a new setup. Things stop working. Yes, Alex.
How about now?
You're still way too low. I'm not sure what's going on. Kyle's our way. We can go back to the old way. That'd be very nice, because right now, it's a bit of a mudslide, as the lady says. And I don't think we can hear Rob and Gila at all. Rob, Gila, either of you speak. Okay, it's curious that we're not hearing them, but we are hearing Alex.
That is curious.
All right. You guys, figure this out, please. I'm going to read some listener mail, because this is not what I was planning. This is another exciting edition of Off the Hook. Kyle, what I suggest is go back to the old system, and we know that works. We are not on next week. That might be cause for celebration for some people. I know it is for me with this kind of setup. It's kind of traditional, I guess, for us to read listener mail before we go away for a couple of weeks. Actually, it's not traditional at all, but it's tradition now. Dear Off the Hook, I just wanted to point out my 2018 Toyota RAV4 Hybrid still has an AM radio, even though this car is almost an electric vehicle and has to deal with the same type of chopped high current motor control circuits as other full electric cars need to deal with. After listening to your rant about how AM radios are being discontinued, I would fully agree that car companies are gaslighting us all by pretending that AM radio is no longer feasible. They probably really just want to save a few pennies by removing the functionality from their radios. In any case, I have absolutely no problems at all getting an interference-free reception in my 2018 vehicle, which has three electrical motors / generators of up to 160 kilowatts, which is pretty substantial. So shame on the gaslighting of the car manufacturers. By the way, I'm having a blast listening to your reports about artificial intelligence. I am really afraid, though, that some goons will start believing AI way too much and cause all sorts of havoc. I think it's already beginning. Just like almost all call centers are being replaced by so-called intelligent chat agents, also to save money, of course, very soon we will become complete slaves of the machines, and only a handful of hackers will be able to actually achieve something useful other than watching sports and drinking the Fox Kool-Aid. Have a great day. Can't wait for next episodes of Off the Hook and Off the Wall. Thank you very much, Klaus, for that wonderful letter. And here's another one. And folks, we do get all your mail, by the way. We don't read all the mail on the air, but we do get it. So please don't feel discouraged if you don't hear your email to us read over the air, because we do have other things to talk about as well. Our email address, though, is oth@2600.com. And again, please fill our inbox with all kinds of comments, positive, negative, informative, whatever. Hi, guys. Thanks for the awesome program, Off the Hook. I've been a listener for some years now and find many of your conversations and guests on the program very interesting. I'm located in Denmark, so I've yet to listen to a live program like the caller from Bulgaria. Yes, people listen from all over the world, so it's hard to say who listens live and who doesn't listen live, but all of our shows are archived. So I almost forgot you were in the room. How are things going?
I believe our guests will be joining us here right
should
now.
Should I press the button, though?
Yeah, give it a try.
Okay, I don't hear the buzz, which is a good sign. Let me ask Alex if he is there. Alex, are you there?
I am here.
And you sound better. Rob, are you there? Rob's giving me a hard time. Gila, are you there? Okay, is it possible something's muted on your end? Because it seems kind of weird that we can hear Alex and we can't hear you and you're on the same screen. No? Okay. Yes, Kyle, I know what that finger means. What are you trying to tell me, Kyle?
Rob seems to be muted.
Okay, well, can he unmute himself or can we unmute him? Can he hear us? Rob, nod your head if you can hear us. That's Gila's head, but okay, fine. I'll take it. Somebody is muting somewhere. I'm going to continue reading this letter while you guys figure out how to unmute something. Continuing, I love the old going down memory lane conversations, and I was very excited to hear about Space Rogue and Loft. I didn't really know exactly what you were talking about saying Loft. It was first when I looked into Space Rogue online. I noticed what it was, sent me down memory lane to a time when my high school was using some kind of Citrix remote desktop. So we all had our own desktop and personal folder on the high school servers. By fiddling around, I noticed that when you logged into your Citrix account, Windows credentials, through shared computers, your login info was saved on the local machine in the NTLM/SAM format. I can't really remember exactly. However, I found out about Loftcraft, that is, that time, and I gathered all the SAM files from around all the shared computers and ended up having so many personal logins, including the system administrators for the school network. Not sure you want to be telling us this, but hopefully the statute of limitations is over. I didn't have a motive to use it for anything, so it just ended up as bragging rights. That was the only thing I really knew about Loft. Rebel talking about old phone systems keeps reminding me of that day back in the 1990s when I figured out I had around 10 to 20 seconds free call time before a phone booth would shut me down. So I called a friend telling him I'll be disconnected in 10 seconds. I'll call you back. And I had a conversation through there about nothing, really. I think we've all had experiences like that. For those who are puzzled, yes, we do have a phone-in section that follows this program over on YouTube. And Rebel can often be heard there calling us and telling us about various phone connections. Anyway, just because it was fun. There was a reason to do these things. It also reminded me that that day my mind was blown when I noticed I could call up a number simply by pressing the cradle switch. I had a very same experience as a kid when I realized I could flash a switch hook and it was the same thing as dialing. Like, you know, flashing it twice was like dialing a two. it was incredible. And I dialed 11 to see what would happen, and I wound up getting an operator angry. So, that was back in the day when there were 2,600 meetings in Denmark. And, you know, there might still be. I don't think they're listed, but there might still be. And if there are meetings, or if somebody wants to start meetings, they should contact us. You can go to 2600.com/meetings to see all the meetings around the world, generally to take place on the first Friday of the month. Or you can mail us meetings@2600.com with your ideas for a meeting in your area. Anyway, continuing with this letter here. At the time, I didn't think I knew enough to attend. It was a long trip for me, so sadly, I never went. And now the nearest meeting seems to be in Sweden. Well, we do have meetings in Stockholm. I know that, and they're doing quite well. So if you're close to a meeting in a different city, by all means, go there. But if you want to start one in your own, feel free to do that as well. Moving on to the topic of Tesla blocking out AM radio signals, which seems to be a popular one. I heard the program while I was driving around in a borrowed older fossil-powered car, hooked up my phone to the stereo through Bluetooth, and noticed that the higher the RPM the car had, I had a high-pitched tone that was getting higher and higher, like a disturbance in the signal. It was funny how I noticed that while you were talking about AM blockades. So there seems to be something about it, not only with electric vehicles. Also, here's a request. Well, this is actually, I think this letter might have come in a couple of weeks ago because it was asking us to improve our volume on YouTube. We did have an issue with the volume being very low, and Kyle fixed that issue. But do we have a new issue now, Kyle? So maybe this...
No, it's
this
fine. Complaint. Everything's fine.
Are you sure everything's fine? Well, you sound good, but you're
in fact, Rob's here. Everything's fine. We're all rooting
for it. I'll believe it when I hear it. Rob, are you there? No, he's not there, Kyle. Why would you lie to me like that? He's moving his mouth, but nothing's coming out. I honestly don't know what's going on here. This is and Alex, you're still there, right? Okay, I know that you did that intentionally. You're just moving your mouth. I can tell when you're messing with me like that.
Yeah, you can't pull one over on you.
No, not at all. Anyway, that nice message came from Christian over in Denmark. And there's one more letter I'd like to read. This actually pertains to you, Alex. It's one of a few that we got. There's a brief mention on the April 5th overtime episode of London's Battersea Power Station when Alex recounted his preferred method of commuting across London. I know some of you are Pink Floyd fans, so I thought you might be interested to know that the Battersea Power Station is featured prominently on the album art for Animals. Thank you, PRD, for that. And that is true. In fact, if you have occasion to look at the album cover for Animals, I always thought it was a painting because that's how interesting the photograph is. But it's a photograph of a power plant, and it just looks amazing. And I did not know that was in London. So next time I'm in London, definitely I want to head over there.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, though, to me it's somewhat disappointing because the Battersea Power Station, it's not really a power station anymore, but they've created essentially a giant shopping mall in the inside that still has some of the old industrial components scattered around it. And it's, you know, it's just there for commerce now. It's shopping. It's a bunch of high-end shops. I felt like they could have done so much more with it. It could have been more artistic. It could have been more technical. It's just shopping now.
Yeah, well, that's how things turn out. Okay, so this is really disruptive. We can't talk to half our people. I'm not sure why. And Kyle's basically just focused on this. Can you give us an update, Kyle? What's going on?
I'm just troubleshooting a little bit of the connection details, trying to get the audio back.
This all worked before. What happened? We upgraded? we upgraded. That's what we did, right?
We made a couple of changes and things. So.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Fine. This is sort of what I want to talk about anyway, and I guess I can just talk to Alex about it. But is there a way we can raise Alex? Because he's very low. That would be nice. You know, the whole issue of upgrades has been bugging me for quite a while, because you want to hold on to to the bits of technology that you're used to. You know, you want to hold on to that old old copy of Windows NT or the flip phone or whatever. You don't necessarily want to dive into something new, especially if something old is working. But at some point, you have to. At some point, you have to make that change. It's almost unavoidable. And that's what happens to every single one of us when dealing with technology, whether it's the telecommunications, whether it's computing, whether it's emerging technologies. We always have to change our behavior, change our habits, let somebody else design something better. And some of us move blindly. Some of us move without thinking it through. We do it because we're told to. We get that quite a bit. You have to upgrade. You have to change your version. You have to do this. Well, now that no longer works because you just did that. And that's what we're seeing right now. That's what happens. It's unavoidable. And it happens with every system there is. We have a system here in the United States. And I dare say it's time that system gets some sort of an upgrade, whether hardware, software, whichever. It's unavoidable. You have to upgrade things. You have to change things. And that is what we are, I think, focused on a daily basis in this country, because we have a system that was designed hundreds of years ago, and we don't seem to know how to upgrade, how to update, how to make vital changes. You know, I'm referring to really frustrating things. Tonight, for instance, we were expecting the Supreme Court to tell us if the abortion pill would be accessible to the millions of people who need it. Because we have a system where one judge in Texas who has no conception of science can decide for the entire country that we will not have a drug that has been on the market for 20 years and has been proven safe over and over and over again. That is our system. And the way that we deal with that system, we appeal to another court, which is stacked with people that the previous president has put on that court that will side with him in the end. And then, of course, there's the Supreme Court. We all know what happened there. We're going to the same people who overturned Roe versus Wade and asking them, hey, can you do something to help people get access to abortions? This is the one group of people that you should not be going to ask that. But that's our system. Our system also has such gems as the Electoral College, where twice in my lifetime, a president has been put in power having substantially less votes than the loser. And that's supposed to protect us. We're supposed to feel good about that. And I don't feel good about that. I don't feel protected. I feel like we basically are using something antiquated, something that is really due to be modernized. That's one thing. There's gerrymandering. There's taking a state such as Wisconsin or North Carolina, or as we've seen recently, Tennessee, and basically ignoring the will of the people and allowing others to have complete control, whether they have a slight majority or whether even they're in the minority. They are able to control everything, such as who speaks, what bills get passed along, how elections will work. And it's almost insurmountable to get past that because they've redrawn the district so that they win every time, even when they lose. That's our system. There's senatorial representation, where a state like South Dakota gets the same amount of representation as California or New York, equal, with a fraction of the amount of people. And because of that, they have so much more power. The right wing continues to have an incredible amount of power because of this unbalanced representation. It's based on land and states, not people, not population. And then, of course, we try to interpret things that were written back in the 1700s, try to imagine what the founding fathers would say about things like AR-15s, when there's no possible way we could know that. There's no possible way they could understand that. We need to change. We need to upgrade. We need to modernize our system. And like the most stubborn person who holds on to their old hardware or refuses to update their old software, we refuse to move ahead. We have it set up so that we can't move ahead. We absolutely cannot move ahead. We are not even able to pass an equal rights amendment in this country. We can't even give women equal rights, let alone everybody else who has been victimized. We have it set up so that a constitutional amendment is next to impossible. It's gridlock. So I don't know if we can upgrade our system anymore, or if we just need to find a new system. Maybe we need to throw out Windows and get Linux. Do something completely different. Because otherwise, we're stuck. We're stuck in the same place we've been for decades. And it gets worse, and every single year it gets worse in one way or another. Well, did I kill enough time? I just basically had a stream of consciousness there where I've been frustrated by the news, by what's been going on. I imagine a lot of other people are as well, and people feel helpless, you know. Any kind of gun control passed in this country because it's blocked in so many ways. We just never, ever seem to advance. And I think it's because we just don't know how to upgrade. Now, hopefully, there are people who can say something now. Why am I seeing two Robs and Gilas?
They have backups of one another, and it's...
Okay.
It's incredibly complex, but basically they've switched that on, and they might be able to join us now.
Okay, well, I'll let you guys speak. This is going to go down as one of our worst shows ever, isn't it? Alex, I can hear you. Why aren't you talking?
Well, I mean, I'm here. I was giving Rob and Gila the opportunity to speak, but they seem to be present but not voting, so to speak.
Okay, well, you know what? I said a lot of stuff. You know, it's good I can hear you because I just attacked your system. Your system is the legal system. So I want you to explain to me why we're not upgrading, why we continue to run this decrepit, ancient, insecure system that serves nobody and is a relic of centuries past. What do we do? How do we have one person, one uninformed judge in Texas able to control the entire country? What kind of system is that, Alex? Come on.
Well, I'll tell you what kind of system is. I disagree with you, and not surprisingly, about, you know, being in need of an upgrade and antiquating things. I mean, look, you know, it certainly is an 18th century innovation here, but it served us well for quite a long time. And
all right,
you got.
Hang on, hold on a second, Alex. Was that Rob's voice I just heard?
I think it was.
Okay, and now I hear Gila. Oh, can someone explain to me what the problem was?
We would if we could, but yeah. We have no idea.
All right, yes, no, that's the one thing I don't want to hear.
We have just swapped a bunch of equipment to another computer. We installed Skype on that computer, and so now we're seeing you through there, and you can hear us finally.
Can we at least say if it was on this end or their end?
I got a bunch of updates from them, too, last minute. So,
We mean got a bunch of updates. Kyle, what do you mean?
After we had started the call, I was adjusting some of the settings on an alternate system, and as I was closing those windows, and we had some disruption. I closed the program. When I went to reopen it, it forced another update. So
we were... you're saying while...
My stupidity plus their insistence.
Well, you keep saying they and without saying who they is. Skype. You didn't say that. Software, okay, I thought it was Robin Geeler who were updating us.
No.
All right, so while I'm bitching about people needing to upgrade and update and things like that, Skype was doing that to us and completely messing up our program.
A little bit, yeah.
That sounds like a lot. All right. Alex, please continue, and then we'll introduce Robin Geeler, and hopefully that helps him to contribute.
Well, my point was going to be, and will be now, is that I think the updates and upgrades are built into the system here. It's called the common law. I mean, we have the system whereby the law is supposed to evolve in one way or another by virtue of judicial decisions interpreting a law. The judicial decisions themselves become part of the body of law that is interpreted by lawyers, by litigants, by Congress, by other judges. It becomes precedent. It's known as stare decisis. And I think this whole predicament really underscores the importance of the federal judiciary to the evolution of this nation. And what happens to a country when the judiciary is stacked with, you know, for lack of a better word, incompetence? I could have used a much nastier word, but I didn't. This guy's a federal judge. So I guess have some respect for him in some manner.
Why? Why do we always have respect for people who hurt us, who are acting irresponsibly and ignorantly? Why?
Well, look, I think the real issue here is that we have a whole bunch of Trump appointees sitting at the district court level.
That's right.
What happened in this particular case was a clear instance of what's known as forum shopping, whereby a litigant goes around looking in the country where there is, you know, a judge or likely to draw a judge that would be favorable to the litigant's argument. And now, as I understand it, in this particular area in Texas, do you know how many judges there were?
No idea.
One.
Okay, you see, that's a problem with the system right there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. As I understand it, I think this was the only judge that was sitting in that particular district who was a Trump appointee who's known to be very favorable to these types of arguments. So they file a lawsuit there. It goes up to the Fifth Circuit, and who decides it? I think the case was decided by two other Trump appointees at the Fifth Circuit, the appellate level.
This is like using R login. You know, this is like something just so stupid that, of course, you would patch it immediately and have a more secure, fair system. And we never seem to get past that. We never seem to protect ourselves.
The system, I think, has been working really, really well for hundreds of years because look at where we were when it came to human rights and the evolution of the common law, the protection of individual rights, even things like privacy rights, right? I mean, privacy is not found in the Constitution. We've talked about this many, many times. You have to essentially derive it from the penumbras and emanations of other amendments, right? You know, the Fourth Amendment doesn't have the word privacy in it, but because of judicial decisions, including decisions like Roe v. Wade and Griswold v. Connecticut, decisions that underpin the right to abortion and the zone of privacy inherent to family planning, that was, you know, how the law evolved and it became the law of the land. And this all worked really, really well until
it didn't.
Until Trump came to office and he started stacking the courts.
Right. So what's our protection against that kind of abuse?
Congress. Congress is supposed to check those appointments.
That's a bad answer, man. That's
no, it's not.
The Congress that is there now, that's going to be our savior. That's going to be what modernizes our system and upgrades it.
Well, Congress was asleep at the switch. They should have put up more of a fight when Trump nominated these incompetents to the federal bench. You know, that's their job. Their job is to be a check on the executive branch. It's a system of checks and balances, right? So these guys being appointed to the federal bench, unfortunately, they are appointed for life. So perhaps a way to get around this then would be to not appoint judges for life anymore. And that happens in some Article I courts, like the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces. That's the Supreme Court of the military, for which I was a judicial law clerk when I graduated law school. Those judges actually have 15-year appointments. They're not appointed for life. They're federal judges, but they don't sit for life. So maybe that's a way to solve this, is to not make it a life appointment, or to make it easier to remove a judge, perhaps for something like incompetence.
Or something like what Clarence Thomas has been found to have done, basically lied and cheated and taken bribes, and we can't do a damn thing about it. You know, meanwhile, he's going to make more terrible decisions, and we're powerless. Now, you know, you say they should have put up more of a fight. These are the same people that were on Trump's side that were appointing all these judges in the first place. They're not going to put up any kind of a fight. They're part of the package.
Well, I think that, you know, that's a defeatist attitude, in my opinion. I think that we should be looking to Congress to stand up for the individual rights that we have to make sure that they're not further eroded by the federal judiciary. I think the problem with Congress right now is that they're too obsessed with their own image. They're too obsessed with social media. They're too obsessed with the next soundbite that they're going to get on the air that they are not paying attention to the work of the Congress. You know, and a lot of the work is to appoint federal judges or to oppose federal judges. And I think that they should have done a better job during the Trump administration of opposing these judges, maybe using the filibuster, because this is what happened. You get this guy, this incompetent guy in Texas, who makes a ruling that then affects the entirety of the United States. I think we might have lost.
Well, hang on. I'm not sure who you're saying had the power to stop this. I'm pretty sure Democrats didn't have the power to stop it. Are you saying they did?
They probably could have with a filibuster or put up enough of a stink about it or make it a national issue. But look, these are not really sexy things that politicians want to talk about. It doesn't get you a gigantic Twitter following. It doesn't get you on MSNBC. But I think it's equally important as the things that do, because these federal appointments have such lasting consequences on the entirety of the nation that it's difficult to underestimate the power of the federal judiciary. I mean, it's up to the president to appoint and Congress to make a decision about the appointment, basically to vote on the appointment of these federal judges that then act as a check on themselves. And that's how the Constitution was designed, the system of checks and balances. And right now, you have a judiciary that is stacked with the political appointees, in essence, of a president that is not in office and is under indictment. It's pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, and nothing you said is telling me how it's going to be fixed, just how it's going to keep getting worse and how the abuses are happening. This is the problem. We don't seem to have a method to modernize and repair damage. We're just stuck with the consequences of some really bad decisions and some really bad people. You know, almost every country in the world updates their constitution. We haven't done that. We're loathed to do that. if you try any kind of amendment to the constitution, will not go through unless it's an amendment that says God bless America and nothing else. You will not get it through. You will not have change. I mean, don't you agree that change is one of the most important and positive things that we could wish for? And I'm not talking about just, you know, blindly changing just for the sake of it. I'm talking about basically progressing. I know progress is a dirty word these days, but learning, advancing, being more inclusive and fair. I mean, we've turned into a nation where these are things that we avoid, we don't embrace. And I'm not seeing anything that that gives me hope that this is going to be solved without a major change.
I think that's probably correct. But I think it's a problem that, you know, we should have been able to foresee a couple of years ago. And like I said, you know, people don't want to talk about these issues because they're not really sexy until they become a big problem like they are right now.
Yeah, well, they are a big problem. I know we'll get emails saying, oh, you're being political again. Unfortunately, this is the kind of thing that affects everybody, that affects our lives. I mean, the gun issue by itself, you just go back a couple of decades you know, so many people were warning that we were going down a very dark road. We went down that dark road and now we're in a dark place and now we don't know how to get out of it. And I honestly don't know how you're going to ever turn the society into something positive where you don't have more guns than people and where you don't have mass killings constantly, and where you're not basically looked at in horror by the rest of the world. You know, this all started around the Reagan era because we lived with the Second Amendment and with the words of the Constitution for centuries before that. Not completely without problems, but certainly nothing like now, because it was misinterpreted by the Supreme Court. It was misinterpreted by politicians. It was misinterpreted by a lot of gung-ho gun enthusiasts. And now we have a situation where everybody is afraid of everybody else. And you just, how do you turn that off? How do you possibly stop that? You know, sometimes there is no solution in the current system. Sometimes you have to do a major reset, get a new computer. You know, just, I'm not sure what I'm advocating for. All I know is that it's a major problem right now. And, you know, just, it's accentuated by what we are seeing in the news today, where we're waiting for the very people that destroyed Roe versus Wade to decide the future of another part of abortion rights. You know, the one group of people that we know are not going to get it right. So it just seems like we're perpetual victims and we don't have a way out.
Well, it's a good time to throw a lot of analysis and information that we have gathered and observed in some of these areas and the strategies, and use as many of the ideas and tactics as we can to take hold of a kind of society that is a little bit safer. Because certainly, you know, having these antiquated attitudes and fostering this kind of social cavalierness towards proliferation of weaponry is itself destructive, and we should triage it. We should treat it like the crisis it is when it's an acute situation, but with as much intelligent, you know, thoughtfulness and creativity that we would put towards any other problem or big crisis we face.
You know, I guess what I'm impatient with are just the inevitable comebacks of, yeah, it's a terrible system, but it's better than any other system. No, it's not. It's not better than any other system. There are systems that are better, that are working better, where people are happier, more prosperous, have more modern equipment at their fingers, and have just as much, if not more, freedom of speech. So we can't keep going to that mantra of, yes, it's the best system ever. You know, maybe it had the potential at one point to be the best system ever, but it sure isn't going in that direction now. And we need to face that. We need to face that fact. And if we want any hope of achieving that, we need to address the failings and the problems and realize that it's not simply, you know, signing petitions and losing by less. You know, it's basically an overhaul. It's a major reboot. It's something that we have to all take a look at and realize that something is not working. Go ahead, Alex.
I don't entirely agree that we need a major reboot. I think we have a three-part system, and one third of that system was asleep at the switch, or was completely ineffective. And I think what happened there, and I'm talking about Congress, of course, because what happened there during the Trump administration was that there just wasn't a check on Trump. Everything was such a whirlwind. Everything was so crazy.
But the system is designed not to have a check. That's my point.
Well, it's designed to be a check, and it wasn't, I think, an effective check. I mean, Congress is supposed to check the presidency, right?
Look, the Republican Party is not going to check the Republican Party. We've seen that time and time again.
Well,
and the justices that he appoints, that the Congress that supports him basically confirms, they're not going to check that either. So the system basically is designed to bolster the system, but not necessarily check itself. I agree. In theory, that's what's supposed to be happening. But in practice, I don't see it.
Well, it was in theory and in practice up until the Trump administration. Now, that's when everything changed. And that's why I think Congress abdicated its responsibility to become a check on the executive branch. And when Congress failed to exercise its authority to become a check on the executive branch. That was when we, that was why we have this result that sounds and looks and feels a lot like tyranny. Mm-hmm. A lot of, right? And that's because the system failed us for that period of time. And I think it was because the executive branch was so powerful, exerted so much political influence in such a weird and unique way that the Republicans didn't know what to do with themselves. I think up until Trump became the Republican nominee, they were adamantly opposed to him. The statements of Mitch McConnell talking about Trump were incredible. The fights that he had with Ted Cruz. I mean, the Republicans, abhorrent as many of them are, I think would not have confirmed a lot of these federal judges if Trump was not the political powerhouse that he was with respect to the constituents in their districts. So I think that this crazy unchecked power of the president led to Congress being asleep at the switch, not paying any attention at all to when these federal judges were appointed. And now we're going to be feeling the effects of it, not just with respect to this decision, but I think with many decisions for many years to come.
Go ahead, Gayla.
Alex, I absolutely disagree. I think that Congress, and particularly the higher echelons of leadership in the Republican Party, were so excited to have consolidated this bit of power and to get, like, they've been laying the groundwork for what they did for decades, right? Watching things happening at the local level, moving to the state level, moving to the federal level. They've been planning this and lining up judges for decades, and all of a sudden, they had this unfettered ability to get in and do it. They didn't abandon their responsibility. They decided they had another responsibility entirely. And watching it all happening now, watching this all bear fruit now with everything that happened in Florida today, and I'm sorry if we discussed this earlier while we were having our technical issues, this is a scary time to be an American person. Or a person in America, for that matter, if you're not American, if you're an expat who happens to live here. Quick story from our absence over the last couple of weeks. We were out of state. We were on an airplane, and Rob was wearing a T-shirt that says abortion rights are human rights. And a flight attendant came up to us and said someone had complained about Rob's shirt.
Wow.
And we were at 30,000 feet somewhere over the central United States. And the flight attendant said, number one, he's sitting in front of you. You can only see his back. Mind your business. But also, what do you want me to do, Karen? Do you want me to ask him to change his shirt in the middle of the flight, Karen? And the flight attendant was just shocked that someone had tried. She's like, he has the freedom to say what he wants to say. Free speech exists on this airplane. But it was shocking that that was even an issue. I mean, it's a cute shirt. It's a nice color green. But the idea that somebody would be offended and complain to an authority figure about five words on a shirt, where are we?
Wait, I'm a little confused. The flight attendant said that he has the right to his opinion. Was she referring to Rob or to the person complaining?
She said to the person who had complained, this man has the right to wear whatever shirt he wants to.
Okay.
Mind your business. You're sitting behind him.
So who was calling whom Karen?
Oh, the flight attendant was referring to the person, the woman who had complained.
Oh, okay. Okay, I get it now. Well, yeah, that is something. And kudos to Rob for having the guts to wear a shirt that says something basic like that. But we need to do more things in that vein. And I don't think we are nearly enough. I mean, I've seen instances of it. What happened in Tennessee was so inspirational. And I wasn't expecting it to come out of a place like Tennessee, and that's educated me as far as where hope can spring. But that's what we need. We need individual people to engage in acts of courage if we want to see the change. Because if you wait for the system to do it, it's not going to. That's why we need to take control of it and modify it to our advantage, you know, in an intelligent way. Look, you know, you can say the system worked great. Let's equate it to a web page. You know, it was fine. It served everybody until somebody found a vulnerability and got in and did something that made it able to be abused and not serve its purpose. Well, what do you do at that point? Do you say, okay, well, you know what? it's going to sort itself out and the people that abused it will go away? Or do you upgrade it and fix it and address the security issues? And that's what I'm saying we need to do. We need to figure it out. I don't have the answers. I don't know exactly what that means. I'm just trying to identify the problem and say that the system is broken and it's not going to fix itself. Go ahead, Rob.
This is also something that I particularly want to hear from listeners to this program, people in the hacker community, people in the activist community, people who are listening to WBAI. I want to hear your ideas out there for things we can do, because things are broken right now. Social safety nets are completely broken. In more states every day, people aren't able to get to the access to the healthcare they need, or be who they are in terms of the trans stuff that's going on in Florida right now. And I want to hear your ideas out there for ways that we can ensure that people who need these services, for people who need this information, for people who need basic sex education information that schools will now not give them, what are we doing to preserve access to that information over the technological resources we have, the social resources we have, the activist resources that we have? How can we make our end runs hacker style around what they're trying to do to oppress people?
Well said. Alex, did you have more?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that, you know, things need to change in that we need to figure out a way that we can deal with, I think, the residue of the Trump administration and the federal judiciary. I mean, I obviously respectfully disagree with Gila about, you know, what Congress did. I don't think the Republicans wanted Trump in office. I think that, you know, maybe you were right when, you know, they saw that there was a power vacuum there and they took it and ran with it. But I don't think that they subscribe to the same basic values that Trump does. I mean, I think he's a totally different animal than most of the Republicans. And I don't think that the federal judiciary has been perfect in this country by any means. We've had some pretty terrible decisions in this country come down from the Supreme Court over the ages. But for the most part, we've been moving in the right direction for a really long time, up until last summer when Roe v. Wade was overturned. And I think that was a harbinger of things to come and what we're experiencing now. And I think that portends, a really, really rocky road. And it shows you the absolute critical importance of the federal judiciary as a bulwark for our work, democracy. During the Trump administration, I can't tell you how many times we talked about the strength and resilience and fortitude of the federal judiciary in blocking the things that he wanted to do. Now that he's stacked the judiciary with his people, they're doing his bidding. It's not a surprise.
And it's not based on justice. It's based on politics. And I think that's the main difference, because when courts were blocking his early attempts to do things, those courts were based on justice. And what he stacked the courts with were people who would do what he said for the most part. And that is the difference. That is, you know, you say that Republicans, basically don't want the same things that Trump wants. I disagree. I think they do. And I think they can hold their noses and deal with somebody like Trump to get what they want, which is the same thing that what he wants. Other than that, yeah, they have nothing in common, but they don't care. You know, fundamentalist preachers will line up next to Trump, even though he doesn't stand for anything they stand for, because he'll get them what they want. So it doesn't matter what he says, what he does, his actions, his crimes. If it gets them what they want, they'll be his allies. Go ahead, Gila.
Exactly. He was a means to an end. And I think part of why, despite everything about him, the Republican establishment at that time saw that he didn't have any concept of who judges should be. So we're like, hey, we have this list from the Federalist Society. You need judges? We got judges. You have power? We want power. Let's work together to make this happen. And it was kind of the shirt over the mud puddle for them. It was a way to get from point A to point B. And now we're going to be living with the repercussions of this for a really long time unless we can figure out a way around it.
And that's what we as hackers can do, is figure out ways around problems. And that's why, you know, I wasn't planning on talking about any of this. It was our technical problems that sort of pushed me in this direction. But you know, it's a good parallel. You can see how things get completely messed up if certain things go wrong. And that's what we're facing with now. We're faced with now in the real life world. And I think we need to address it as if it were an operating system, or an outdated phone or an outdated computer. What do we do? How do we move ahead and stop saying that this is fine, it's going to fix itself, because it's not going to fix itself. And I don't know how much more evidence we need of that. And, you know, it's, it could get a lot worse this week because, the Supreme Court just kicked the can down the road a little bit. I don't have much faith that they're going to do the right thing on this particular issue or on other issues. And, you know, here's a story that, we're going to have to go in a couple of minutes actually, because our time is almost up, but I just saw this story come out earlier. The headline reads, Texas could push tech platforms to censor posts about abortion. They're considering a bill that would make it illegal to provide information on how to access abortion. So, you know, this is going well beyond their draconian limits and restrictions. And now it's in the world of speech where you won't even be allowed to talk about this. The bill would require internet service providers to block websites offering content that basically talks about abortion or how to get abortion pills. It would permit anyone to sue a person who shared anything about how to access a medical abortion. It's almost funny. It's almost a farce. But it becomes more real every week, it seems. And I just wonder, where will we be in a few months, in a couple of years, if we don't do something, if we don't fight back?
Yeah, it'll become something that is ever harder to access. And for all of the things that were stopped and slowed, I mean, American government is supposed to have checks and balances and run slowly in general. Things take time. We're used to that, the deliberation. There's been no deliberation, though. It's been a stalemate, and things have been slowed, except for these things that, as we laid out, were put in and arranged in key ways by lobbyists for a very narrow set of issues. And now they've caught this, they've felt this victory and are wielding ever more devolving rules and guidelines that alienate and make access for everyone, not just this narrow group of people, impossible. And these kinds of things are going to make these normal medications something that require puzzles and cryptic things to have any possibility of getting a hold of.
And that means that we're out of our time for this week. I'm sorry. It went so fast, and we won't be on next week, so we'll be back in 2 weeks, and we'll be on Off the Hook Overtime at the top of the hour, 8 o'clock. Join us on channel 2600 or click the link that is on 2600.com right now. We'll talk about more things. We can continue talking about this. I'd like to get to the story that I never got to about paper magazines dying. That was the main topic for tonight, but as far as technical snafus, we talked about technical snafus. But you know what? It worked. I think there's a lot that we have to unpack here and discuss and figure out. And hopefully you can do it with us. Write to us, oth@2600.com, or join us at 8 o'clock on YouTube. You can even call us.
We'll show improvement next time.
Oh, I hope so.
I promise. No, this was all part of the test.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this later.
Sorry.
Good night, everyone.